bless your amazing people, Lord God, occupying these seats today. Let somebody's life be transitioned from the inside out, Lord God. Be transformed by the glory of God, Lord God. Cause something to shift, cause something to move, cause something to flow, cause something to break, cause something to grow, cause something, Lord God, to be mighty in their lives. Mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen, 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 amen. Stay resting on your feet if you would. Stay resting on your feet. Some are predicting the way I flowed in 8:30, but I'm flowing a different way right now. All right. John 4, verse 13. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Touch four people before you're seated and tell them, give me living water. Give me living water. Give me living water. Give me living water. Living water. I need living water. Come on, come on. Give me living water. Give me living water. I thank God that on today, January 26, 2020, I can celebrate the living water that touched my mother. Because this Sunday, a week ago today, my mother was in the hospital. But today she is joining us and she is feeling so good. See, give me living water. Give me living water. Give me living water. To God be the glory for covering her and keeping her in the blood of Jesus working on the inside of her. Amen. We don't take that for granted. The prayers of the righteous actually do availeth much. Amen, amen. Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, nonstop, round the clock. Pray when you sleep. Pray when you at work. Pray when you driving. Pray when you at church. Come on, get that spirit constantly going. That spirit is like a murder on the inside of you. I'm talking about today. Give me living water. So back just a few years ago when I was really young, I grew up in a day where you played outside. Okay. I need to talk to folk that played outside. Are y'all in the house today? That you played outside? That mama said, get out. Get out. Get out. Don't play outside. Get out of here. Get out. Get out of here. That's how your mama did y'all? You and all your siblings? I'm sure. Get out. So I played in the day you played outside. And what would happen is that, I grew up in a day where you played all day. Anybody play all day? I played all day. I mean, until you just wore out. Just tired. And it so happened that wherever we played, it would usually maybe be over a friend's house. Might even be over my house. But then what we would do, man, you get so tired. The sun be out, be beaming. You know, you be thirsty, right? And then you go in the back, and you grab that hose. See, some of y'all kids are boozy now. Y'all boozy, you want a feezy after you play. How you going to get feezy after you've been outside? You better grab that hose. Feezy. So we would grab the hose. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We grab that hose, right? Let that water just hit you. Water was always cold, too, right? Coming out that hose. Here's the thing about the hose, though. The water tastes like the hose. The water tastes like the hose. Wherever you're drinking from, That's what it's going to taste like. Where are you drinking from? You're drinking from somewhere. Some of you may be drinking from the wrong hose. This woman that I'm going to get to in just a few moments, she asked Jesus to give her living water. Yeah. Living water is not an element that you can drink from. Because the reality in us kids who kind of grew up around my time and like to play outside around that time, realize that even when you drank from that hose, you were soon to be thirsty again. Where are you drinking from, everybody? I'm going to give you some script. Where are you drinking from? Are you thirsty? I would hope that you came here today because you're thirsty. I would hope that you came here not to punch a religious time clock, but that you're here because you're thirsty. Ask the person next to you, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? What do you need today? What do you need to fulfill this thirst that the Bible says that they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be what? Shall be filled. So I believe that if you're hungry and you're thirsty today, that God can give you exactly what you need. Anybody with me this morning? Anybody with me? Zephaniah 3:17. This is our capture scripture. Let's put it up and let's read it together. If you can't read it and it's too far away from you, fake it. Zephaniah 3:17. Can we say this together? The Lord your God wins and is he and he will. Ooh, somebody say, I receive it. Ooh, y'all read that so good. Y'all read that. So Matthew 6:31, let's keep it going. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Thank you, Lord, for knowing everything that I need. Paul tells us, Matthew tells us in his Matthean text, don't worry about all those things. Don't worry about what you're going to do tomorrow. Don't worry about what you need. Don't worry about, God's got all of that figured out. He says, but before you do all of that, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye what? First what? The not just the kingdom and his, and all these shall be. So I want to be in a place of addition where all of my needs are met, and then God has me in a place of addition. There's just add-ons happening in my life. God's already supplied everything that I need, food, shelter, water. He supplied that, okay? Sometimes we think we need more than that. Sometimes we think we need what? You really just need the bare essentials to get by. Oh, y'all shouting me down right now. Y'all shouting me down. You just need the bare essentials. It's what you tell your kids, right? Say, listen, all I'm really supposed to do is just feed you and house you. Come on, y'all. Come on. Can I get a parent to say hallelujah? You in there, Pastor? Can I get a parent to point at their kid and say, listen to that man? All I got to do is house you and feed you. I ain't got to buy you Jordans. That's not in the Bible. I don't see Jordans in the Bible and Gucci and all. I ain't got to do all that. I just got to feed you. See, we're laughing, but God is like that with us. See, all that extra stuff, I am not required to give you that. This is heavy now. I'm not required to give you that. I'm required to give you what's essential. What's essential is just the bare necessities, just food, shelter, water. That's why the earth is 80% water, right? Right? Because why? Because that's a necessity. That's one of the elements of God. That's why. Really, and some of you might be vegans, but that's why, you know, even the things of the earth that we eat were provided. Come on, steak lovers. I know y'all in the building. Come on, Porky. I know Porky out here. I know. Come on, right? Some of y'all, you won't raise your hand, but you love you some pork. Come on now. Come on. Come on, be easy on it now. Be easy on it. Be easy. I mean that. Be easy. Be easy, especially those of us of the African-American persuasion, okay? Because too much red meat can mess with your blood, okay? Diabetes and all those other that stuff is no joke, okay? I don't want to be an infomercial, but we're doing life together. Amen? Amen? Okay, so don't, you know, Pastor, I'm going to just eat what I want. Mm-hmm. When it's my time, it's my time. I done heard people say that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's just silly. That's just silly. When it's my time, it's my time. Keep going, Pastor. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Y'all getting something already? I just want to help you this morning. 2 Corinthians 9. Let's go deeper here. 2 Corinthians 9, 10. It says, "For God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources." So my resources is what I have, right? So God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer. Okay, come here, Minister Bill. So God provides this seed. So this seed, watch this, because it's about kingdom building and impacting the region and our world for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what sowing is about, you all. It's about impacting the world. Our parking lot is about impacting the world. Our addition is about impacting the world. Our makeover, which will eventually happen, is about impacting the world, right? It's not just self-consuming. It's about impacting the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what this is about. So the Lord tells us through Paul, who is talking to the Corinthian church, listen to this. He says, don't worry. He said, God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer. He provides that and then bread to eat. That's what you can get with that seed. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. Watch this. So only God can produce increase on a release. Anybody getting that? Only God can do that. I don't even know how much money. Let me see how much money. Not a lot. $43. So $44. So the reality is I can sow this into Bill. I'm not. I don't want him to think I'm speaking prophetically. I'm not. But I can sow this into Bill. Watch this. And God supernaturally provides increase on what I released. The 44 alone is just 44. But the 44 with God involved, is anybody with me this morning? The 44 with God involved provides, and there's something that happens that I got to give you because it's about provision. Say provision. Because the Bible tells us two things. He will provide and increase your resources. Okay, okay. Any givers in here? Okay. The givers in here, grab whatever it is that you give. I'm not asking you to get money or anything like that. But if you got a checkbook, grab that. If you got a purse, grab that. If you got a wallet, grab that. Grab it real quick. Grab it real quick. Because this is what the Bible says. He says that. Watch this. He says that because those of you. He says, okay, I provided seed for you. I'm the one that provided what you got. Okay? And as you release it, I will give you both provision and increase. Provision, watch this, because I'm going to break this down. Provision is what is predetermined. Provision has already been spoken into the earth over your seed on your behalf. Provision is working for you before the seed is released from you. Oh, man, somebody need to get that. It's already, so watch this. God has already provided provision over every measure of what I'm sowing. So I got, it's $44. God has measured because God is into the details. God has measured every inkling of a cent that I am going to sow and has ordered provision to be available at the same measure of which I release. It's not equal giving, but it is equal sacrifice. It's not equal giving because everybody's not in the same place. Some of you make really good salaries. Some of you don't make strong salaries. Some of you are salaried. Some of you are not salaried. Some of you live in apartments. Some of you live in houses. Some of you take an Uber. Some of you drive a car. Some of you just get down any way you can get down. You just get down however you can. But and I've heard this said 1,000 times, and I'm going to speak it again. You just in between blessings. So there's four things that are on this seed that Bill has, and I want to show you this. There's four things. So provision is a predetermined defense mechanism. So there's four things that are on this seed. Number one is security. There's security on this seed, okay? So at the point of me preparing to release this seed, I got security. Somebody say, I got security. Number two is defense. Defense. So defense is on that seed. So God, watch this. So God is positioning defenders on your behalf. As you release your seed, God is positioning defenders to cover you and to make sure that you and your household are protected. Oh, my God. No, supernaturally, God gave this to me. This is what is happening when you are releasing that seed. You are not just releasing that seed flippantly. You're not just throwing it into the offering. You're not just putting it there. But God is actually working. There's stuff actually moving at the same time. Number three is the attack. God is preventing the attack from happening. Yeah, why? Because the attack happens every now and then on your finances. But the Bible says he will lift up a standard. Come on, right? He'll lift up a standard against him. And then number four is your supply of wants. God's making sure that every want that you have, not only every need, but then like some of you are right now, some of you are in a place of wants. Some of you are living in a place where you can do and go and sow into things. Had a video, I'm not going to show you, but I saw it earlier this week. And I mentioned this to you. I'm not sure if it was this service or the 11 o'clock, 8:30 service, about just being a blessing to somebody and just, hey, getting in the drive-thru. Matter of fact, I think that was probably Wednesday night I was talking about that. Talking about getting in the drive-thru and just being a blessing to somebody. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be the restaurant you go to. It could be, wherever it is. If you do fast food, it could be there. But I saw a video the other day, and it was a guy at Chick-fil-A. Wouldn't you know it would be Chick-fil-A? Right? Wouldn't you know? Y'all know it wasn't a Sunday, right? Some of y'all still trip off of that, right? But a guy drove up to the, I was watching a YouTube video, he drove up and he gave the lady in the window, he gave her 10 $100 bills. And he said, pay for everybody behind me until it runs out. $1,000. 88 cars got free Chick-fil-A. Come on now. 88 cars. I know y'all like, man, what day was that, Pastor? Is that every Tuesday they over there? Is that over there? It wasn't even in our state. I don't even know where it was. Somebody say generosity. You know, I'm going to go a couple of places, and we've gone there even thus far, and I'm just going to take you down different roads because I want to show you how kingdom Jesus is. Jesus is about kingdom. It's such a beautiful thing, and I said this already, but it bears repeating. Like even like with our new family, you know, you saw diversity there. You saw African American, you saw Hispanic, you saw Caucasian. I mean, that's kingdom, everybody, right? I mean, that's what the kingdom. I mean, you know, if you got a problem with diversity in here, if you're African American, you got a problem with white folk, or if you're white, you got a problem with Hispanics, or Hispanics got a problem with black folk, this and that, you need to get saved. You need to get saved because that's not having those odds against people. That's not God. That's not God. That's not God. Come on, y'all. Come on. Am I talking to anybody in here? I want you to have an open heart. I don't want you to, you know, having odds with, you know, different races and stuff like that. Listen, it's enough problems in this world. Believe you me, it's enough problems in this world. I want us to have that beauty that exemplifies what the kingdom looks like. Because that's what Christ came to do, is to literally rip apart all of these worlds and then bring them together. And that's where we're going with this message today. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. I am still in 2nd Corinthians. I'm sorry. Am I in 2nd? Yeah, I'm in 2 Corinthians 9. I'm in 11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers will be met in Jerusalem, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, somebody say my ministry. That's good. That's good. Paul says, as a result of your ministry. So those of you that actually give, that's actually a ministry. They will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. Amen. Let's walk a road here in John 4. John 4, I want to walk us down this road. Are you getting something this morning? Y'all getting something? Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
And I'm highly favored.
I'm highly favored.
Somebody say, I'm generous.
I'm generous.
Yeah. You can't be a kingdom believer and not be generous. You can't. It's one of the traits that you get when you get saved. Some of y'all was mean before you got saved. Some of y'all was flat out mean. Some of y'all was arrogant before you got saved. Is there anybody? Okay, Mom. All right. Okay. I'm getting a witness, ain't I? I'm getting a witness. Some of y'all were arrogant, though, before you got. Can anybody say that God changed me? Can anybody say God changed me? Just changed you. You were full of you. You were full of self. It was all about you. It was all about your world. That's the one thing for those of you who do not know Christ, who don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's what he can do. That's why he came. Watch this. And you don't have to clean yourself up first. You can't clean yourself up. You've got to let God do something that you could not do on your best day. Has anybody ever failed like I did to clean yourself up? I'm going to get myself right. Right? I get that all the time. I get that all the time. Rev, I know you ain't seen me. I know you ain't seen me, Rev. You know, when I catch people out and every now and then. Rev. I get that all the time. Rev, I know I ain't been around, man. I know. I got to clean myself up, Rev. I got to clean. Listen, just listen, man. Just come. You're going to fail. That's why I haven't seen you. Because you're trying to clean yourself up. You got to come into the courts and let God begin to work on you. Forget what everybody else talking about. Forget them. They don't know you. They don't live your life. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what you're fighting through. They don't know the demons that you're trying to fight. They don't know the generational curses that you're trying to battle through. Don't worry about John and Tony and Kim and Keisha and them. Don't worry about none of them. Just get in the place where God can work on you and clean you up. Because God will clean you up so good. God will clean you up so good that folk that used to run with you, They will not even be able to recognize that you're the same man or the same woman. Can anybody testify to that? Because some of y'all used to run hard in the streets. Oh, y'all acting all bougie on me now. Y'all, come on, some of y'all. Paul said I was chief among sinners. If I was going to be in the world, I was going to be all the way in. Jesus said the same thing. If you're going to be in the world, be in the world. If you're going to be in the kingdom, be in the kingdom. I'd rather have you hot or cold than lukewarm. Don't come in here, sing songs, praise the Lord, suck and buck and all this other stuff. And then you fornicating, adulterating, smoking weed, smoking, drinking, doing it. Come on now. Come on. I'm not being too hard on you, but I want you to live a life that is worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ on your life. I want you to be a good witness for the kingdom. And it's not a good witness if you just can't figure it out. Listen, I know God's working on you, but let him work. I say this, if God can save me, he can save anybody. When I talk about somebody that thought they was this, thought, oh, that was, oh, please, that was me all day. What? In college, too? Stop. Come on, I was a jock. My college teammate is over there. Guy played with me, my man Rob. We played together at Miami of Ohio. Puh, couldn't tell me nothing. What? Huh? Come on. Full of self. Full of it. But God had to break me. Usually that's what has to happen. God's got to break you. And when God breaks you, it brings you to a whole nother different perspective. Oh, my gosh. Oh. And then when God breaks you, you realize how ignorant you were. Oh, y'all going to make me preach to myself. My Lord. Jeez, oh, get to John 4. Get to John 4. Jesus, John 4, verse 1. Let me give you as much as I can of this. Jesus, he knew the Pharisees that heard he was baptized and making more disciples. I'm reading this to you. Then John. So he left Judea and he returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. You've heard about this. And Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because of his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Let's go back. Jesus, he's leaving Judea and he's returning to Galilee. And he happens to have this encounter with this woman at the well. John 4 is a highly preached particular point of the gospel. Give me my map up there, and I want to show you something. I know it's a smaller map, but just bear with me. And so we see Jesus, he's in that Judea portion, which is at the bottom of the map, and he's headed to Galilee. You see Galilee at the top there. And John tells us that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria on his way to Galilee. But here's the reality. If you do a geographical perspective on how the Jews actually went to Galilee, the Jews actually avoided Samaria. They did not go through Samaria. They avoided it. They avoided Samaria because Samaria was seen as the plague. So Jesus, with intent, went through Samaria. So why does John tell us that Jesus had to go through Samaria? Because this is when Kairos happens. What's called the appointed time of God. Ooh, man. This was about an appointment that this woman, who's nameless, by the way, had with God. So Jesus, watch this, walking, mind you, he's walking. Say he walked. He walked from Judea to Samaria on his way to Galilee. Just from Judea to Samaria, watch this, is a 64-mile journey. 64 miles to walk. That's like walking from here to Cleveland. Anybody walking to Cleveland when they leave here? Anybody? Mark and Denise drive from Cleveland every week. How long is your drive? About 63 miles from Cleveland to get here, hour on a weekly basis. Jesus walked 22 hours. When the Bible tells us, and he sat wearily by, are y'all with me? He just walked 22 hours. Lean on somebody and say, he's tired. He's tired. He's worn out. But he's on assignment. Oh, my God. Somebody need to get me. He's on assignment. Ain't it something about when you're on assignment, you don't care how tired you are. You don't care how wore out you are. Some of y'all done drove in snowstorms to get to a sale. Okay, let me talk to the folk over here. Some of y'all done got in ragged. You won't come to church. But you're going to catch that sale, though. It's why? Jesus is on a collision course. He's on a collision course with a nameless woman. 22 hours walking, 64 miles. But on his way, he's got his disciples. So he walks. Watch this. Oh, I hope I have enough time. He walks here. Here's where the Jews usually walk. This is the Jordan River, Dead Sea area. They usually walk here. Jesus walked here. They walk here to avoid Samaria. Why? Because Jews and Samaritans don't mix. Samaritans are into a bunch of different gods. Not only that, especially a woman, because a woman was deemed unclean. A Samaritan woman was deemed unclean, and a Samaritan woman would never be caught, or I should say it on the other side, a Jew man would never be caught talking to a Samaritan woman because she was like unclean. It was almost like she was a leper. It was almost as if she had to say she was unclean. Watch this. And Jesus' crew knew that. Oh, he ran with a crew. Y'all do know that, right? He ran with a crew, right? His disciples. He ran with a crew. So come here, disciple. Come here. Come here. Let me get another. Come here, Isaac. Let me get another disciple. Stephen, come on. Come on, be a disciple. Okay, so listen, watch. So watch. Now it's the whole crew. It's the whole crew. So here it is. Jesus, he's walking. Now Jesus knows where he's going. Okay? They don't know. Okay? Jesus is headed, watch this. Jesus is headed for an encounter. I need you to read the, I don't need you to read the Bible like it's a storybook. He is on the way for an encounter. Something's about to happen when Jesus gets into the space of this woman. Very similar to how it happened in your life. Because when Jesus comes in, he takes everything away. Watch this. So that Jesus didn't have to answer to all of his guys that would be tripping because he was talking to a woman of Samaritan ethnicity, he sent them away. So as he kept going, he basically said, okay, y'all go that way. And Jesus then has this encounter with this woman. He says to her, you all can be seated, disciples. He says to her, please give me a drink. I just read this. The woman is, she's tripping. She said, Jews don't have nothing to do with Samaritans. She said, you a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? See, isn't it amazing how, within your heritage, and within your bloodline, if you feel that you have been ostracized and discounted, even if you've not had that experience with the person that you're coming in contact with, you still take upon that level of being ostracized. It's like judging people before you meet them. It's like being in a space, and we've all been there, it's like being in a space, being around somebody, and you feel like they know everything about you. And so this woman who's with Jesus, she says, why? Because she knows he's a Jew. She doesn't know he's Jesus. But she knows she's basically saying, y'all don't have nothing to do with us. And why is it that you even, what is it about me that you even talking about? And talking to me. Isn't it so good to know that you don't have to be qualified? You don't have to come from a certain family. You don't have to talk a certain way. You don't have to dress a certain way. You don't have to look a certain way. All you got to say is, Jesus, here I am. I'm available for you. Isn't it so good to know that we are not judged on how we bring, what we bring, when we bring it? Isn't it so good to know that every time that we mess up, he's an all-forgiving, graceful, and merciful Father? I'm trying to give you a simple word, you everybody. It's just so good to know that isn't it so good to know that God don't judge you like people do? Somebody getting a witness. If you only knew the gift God has for you, why you would give me, you would ask me, and I would give you, here it is, living water. So Jesus immediately, watch this, he is breaking down the barriers of religion. He's breaking this down, and he's bringing this to relationship. He's breaking down the barriers. Religion separates us. Hear me, everybody. Religion separates us. It doesn't bring us together. It separates us. I have no problem. There's all these beautiful denominations, this, that, and the other, but I don't like separation. You've never heard me, those of you who've been around a lot for a long time, and those of you who have been here, you're not going to hear me bashing. What did I just say? You're not going to hear me bashing denominations. You're not going to hear me talking about Kojic, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, this, that, and the other. No, you hear me? Somebody say kingdom. Kingdom. It's about kingdom. Okay, so we do things differently. Okay, matter of fact, in some cases, there's some biblical, there's some doctrine differences. Okay. You know, some of this stuff we just going to have to work out in heaven. I'm convinced you all, because I've had the conversations like some of you have. I don't believe in that. I don't believe. Okay, listen. Okay. Some people you just can't convince, everybody. Stop trying to waste your time convincing people and just say, Holy Spirit, do what you do. And don't always walk away like you're right. Well, you just stubborn. You just don't want to see it how I'm seeing it. No, just relax. Relax. Let God do something. You're not smarter than Holy Spirit anyway. Okay? So let Holy Spirit do something. You're getting John 4 because this is about kingdoms colliding. This is about a woman who did not feel worthy to even talk to a Jewish man. This is a smart man named Jesus who didn't bring his disciples with him because they would have messed the whole encounter up. It's always one in the crew that messed stuff up. Isn't it always one that you want to say, would you shut your mouth, man, I got this. Jesus would have had to say that to Peter, no question. Peter, come on. We done walked all this way. And then you're going to talk to somebody who don't even believe what we believe? Don't you know her heritage? Don't you know she comes from a from the don't you know that those Samaritans believe in multiple gods? Why would you waste your time? Somebody say Kairos. It's the appointed time. It's the appointed time. See, what I want with God in a continuous measure is I want appointed times. I want God's stuff to happen. Come on, right? Anybody want that? You want God's stuff to happen. I want to have collision courses with God. I want to be on collision course. He got me in December 1999. He got me. I ain't see it coming. My aunt said, come to this church. I ain't want to go. I was like, nah, man. I had that old school mentality. When I get done having my fun, that's when I get saved. I was like, no, I hope I don't die. Because, you know, I came up in a church, you know, it was heaven and hell now. It still is. But it was a whole lot of that. I mean, that altar call, woo. That altar call was scared the life out of me. Every week. Every week. Say, is there one? Is there one? We'll wait on you. I'm telling you. And then he would drop the bomb and he'd say, just so you know, if the Lord shall come, you had a chance. When he hit that had a chance, I was like, it's one right now. I got saved at least 22 times. At least. Come on. Anybody get saved at least 5 times? At least. Where my 5 time savers at? Come on now. Come on. Some of y'all just got saved today. Some of y'all just got saved today. I actually repented when I came in, Pastor. I repented. I was into some stuff last night. I just had to repent. I can't even give this all to you, but I'm going to just give it to you like this. So they begin to have this beautiful conversation, and this woman, she just wants living water. She said, are you greater than, she missing the whole thing. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and all this? She's like, if you knew who you was talking to, then you would ask him living water. He said, because the water I give is like a fresh, bubbling spring. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you right now, this life is a good life. It really is a good life being saved. It really is. I mean, back in the day, I used to think, man, you know, it's boring in church all the time, this, that, and the other, man. I don't know if that's what I'm with. I mean, this is a good life. We have fun as Christians. Don't we have fun? Don't we have fun? I'm trying to encourage them. We have fun. This is a good life. So he said it would be a bubbling and springing water on the inside of you. And then all of a sudden he starts talking to her about her husbands. He said, nameless woman, go get your husband. She said, sir, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, you got five of them. You've had five, and the one that you married to, they ain't your husband either. I began to do a deep study and began to talk to the Lord with regard to this. Watch this, everybody. I don't have time to go to it, but if you were to do some 2 Kings 17 studying, what you would realize is that Jesus used husbands as an allegory. This wasn't about men. It was about gods. This was about a commitment that her lineage had with the gods that they worshiped. Old Testament, the Samaritans had this ungodly tie to multiple gods. And so when he tells her that you've had five husbands, he's not talking about her in the covenant of marriage. Because a deeper study says that she could not legally have divorced those husbands. Somebody say, go deeper. It goes deeper, everybody. We read the Bible for what it is, but then we want to go deeper. We want God to give us revelation from the Word of God. Oftentimes, the Word of God is just not that simple and surface. Sometimes you got to search your heart. Come on, everybody, right? You got to search your heart and say, God, give me what is it that you're trying to speak? What is it that you're trying to say? And he's saying, the one that you're married to now isn't your husband, meaning you have a dependency right now in a covenant that's ungodly. And that's why he's saying, you have come into a kairos moment with the living God who can offer you water that will continuously spring up in you. And once you taste of this water, come on, somebody, once you taste of this water, you will never thirst again. Once you taste of this water, you won't worry about this, that, and the other. Once you taste of this water, you won't have to worry about what this issue is and what this issue is and what this problem is, what this God is. Jesus' issue is that you're making gods of things that cannot be your God. Can't be your God. Your husband can't be your God, woman. Your wife can't be your God. The only God you serve is Jesus on high. We don't bow down to one another as my wife. No way. That doesn't happen. You have a healthy relationship that's based upon covenant, but it's never that you're my God. I can't live without you. I don't know about that. I'm telling you, she and I, we have a healthy relationship. But it's not so tied in that all of a sudden you're worshiping, because you can get to that place even with your spouse that you worship them. You can get to that place with your kids. You don't worship your kids. You love your kids, but your kids belong to God. I'll never forget when I married this woman some years ago. I'll never forget. She told me her aunt told her, she said, listen, daughter, she said, everything in your life wear loose. Wear everything loose, because ultimately it all belongs to God. Don't get caught up. I am not being insensitive. That's not my point. Okay? Because I've lost loved ones. And I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is keep perspective. Anybody getting that? Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Say that out loud. Give me. Say that again. Then I'll never be thirsty again. I won't have to come here to get water. this, verse 23, as we begin to wind home. Jesus tells her, he says, the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Watch this. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must. Come on, come on. Are you with me? So those who worship him, what? Must. Worship where? In what? In. And then. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know all of this amazing conversation. I didn't even mention the part that she says to. She says, sir, you must be a prophet. How in the world did you know all that about me? And then we get to verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who's called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am. Ooh, my God, I am the Messiah. I'm the teacher. I'm the way maker. I'm the generational curse breaker. I'm the healer. I'm the provider. I'm everything that you need. And I came 22 hours by foot to tell you about it. Oh, that's so good, everybody. Because he's a God who will make a way out of no way. This was all about bringing encouragement and life to this woman. This was all about colliding kingdoms. That's why Jesus, who knew that his disciples, they hadn't got it all yet. Isn't it amazing how you can walk with Jesus and still not get it all? Isn't it amazing how you can walk with Jesus and still fall asleep when he tell you not to fall asleep? Yeah. Like some of y'all doing right now? Oh. I done seen folk in this church. Amen. You sleep for like the last 3 minutes of the message. Next time I see that, I'm going to put you on. I'm going to say, what did I just say? Amen, Pastor. Y'all silly. Y'all get this today. Let's give God some praise if we would. Let me leave you with this. Well, I should have really put this message in a two-part. So much I have for you. I just want you to do three things. I want you to ask, hear, and obey. I want you to ask, in closing, I want you to ask James 1 and 5. I want you to hear John 10 and 27. And I want you to obey. I want you to ask of God. I want you to hear from God. And I want you to obey God. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet all over the building if you would. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. I'm going to call an audible on the song here. We're about to bring our kingdom builders cards up. If you need a card, raise your hand. Ushers, are you in the house? Okay, I see hands raised. Come on. Ushers, get in the aisleways right now. Thank you. Thank you so much, ushers. Thank you. All right. Okay. I see the hands up. Beautiful. Worship team, go ahead up there. Unless you've done your card. If you need to do your card, then go up. Worship team, go ahead and up. Go ahead and go up. Because I want to pick this up, and then we're going to bring it back. I'm going to pick it up, and then we're going to bring it back. I want to be sensitive to a children's church because we're going to be a little bit after. Just so you know, we're going to be a little bit after. I see what time it is. I want to be sensitive to our children's church. So if you're going to need to leave your child, I want you to go ahead and do that. Not yet. Don't go get your child quite yet. Not yet. After we do the card. If your spouse is standing to do the card, that'd be great. Bill, go ahead and go up, man of God, as far as worship is concerned. Let's do the offering song. Let's do the offering song for this right here. Okay. You got your card? All right, I need my card. All right, here we go. Okay, so here's how I'm gonna do this. This section is gonna come up first. Okay, so this section right here. So look, watch this. There's the kingdom builder bucket. So this is for the card. This is for the first gift. Remember, I asked you to pray about sowing a first gift. So if you would, you got two buckets there. You got the kingdom builder for the card. You got the first gift bucket. And then that bucket down there is just, that's a tithe bucket. So if you happen to come in a little after time, you didn't have a chance to sow, you can do that right now. Okay, so those of you on my side, to my left, come on. Come on. If you're on this side, you can just kind of come out the aisle. Anytime. Anytime. Yeah. Okay, anybody on this side, if you got your card in your hand, you can just come up. Yes. And your first gift, your first gift goes right here. Put the card right here. Okay. Thank you. Card there. First gift right there. Card there. Okay. After you put, some of y'all just grab your card so you can just bring it up. Okay, this area over here, up to you on this side, you bring your card and bring your first gift. Thank you so much. There's a card and a first gift. Again, this is Kingdom Builders cards. Thank you so much. Yep, there's the card. There's the first gift. Thank you. If this is the wrong one, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Thank you so much. Okay, if you're in this area, in my middle space right here, y'all can come up. Bring your card in the middle space right here. Bring your card and bring your first gift. Bring your card and your first gift. Either I've fallen in a place where I'm just not, I don't just feel as though I just need more of God. I need a touch from God. I want to be a person that there is a bubbling spring of fresh living water on the inside of me. And it looks and it feels as though I've just gotten to a temporary place where there does not seem to be a flow. I just need a touch from the Father. Life has gotten in the way. I need God to touch me this morning. I want there to be an outpouring of godly measures in my life. I want to come closer to God. I want to get to know Him better. I want Him to know me better. I need more. I'm speaking to you, and I know there are many that I am. I want you to just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, I just need more. Raise, I want you to come and meet me at the altar. I want you to take a step of courage. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just meet me. Thank you so much. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly if you will. Come quickly. As many of you here today. As many of you. As many of you. I want to be patient. You say, Pastor, I just need a touch. I just need more. You say, I need that Kairos appointment. I will meet God at this altar. I've got underlying things happening in my life. And I want an encounter with God. Meet me at this altar. Just ask the person next to you. Just tell them, excuse me. Come to this altar. I want it to be like a spring inside of me. I know that there's living water in me. It's just run down. It's not been moving. It's not been doing what I believe it should be. Just say, listen, Pastor, I just need a touch. I just need a touch. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Holding nothing.
Holding nothing.
I
Such a powerful way.
Yes,
Lord. Yes. Yep. 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 And I just want to thank, I want to thank publicly, because I did this with the 830, so I want to thank publicly those who served and helped out last weekend, gave up their time and their energy to minister and to pour into our young people. Kimberly, I know you're one of them. You were there. You were there one night. Thank you, Kimberly. Thank you so much. Her husband, Joel, who's probably with our GAP ministry right now. Stephen, you were there with our young people. Tracy, you were there as well. Am I missing anybody?
Angela,
you were there, young people as well. Can we give them a big hand for our young people? Next Sunday, I asked Joel to put something together. He said he's working on it now. Because you need to know that our young people are being impacted by the glory of God. I know we sent 20 plus youth from this church, and they just got rocked by the Holy Spirit. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you in advance. I'm going to give either next Sunday, I may give 2 weeks for this, either next Sunday or the following, tell you how much our faith promise was for 2020. I'm probably going to give 2 Sundays simply because the way most people come to church, okay, they come like the other week. So I'm probably going to give maybe one more Sunday, and then the following Sunday, which I believe is the 9th, I'll give you the praise report on what the Lord has had us to faith promise as a church. And if you're still praying about it, please continue to do so, and you'll be able to participate here in these days ahead. All right, I believe it is time to speak the blessing. Did your spirit lead today? Amen. Listen, we love y'all so much. We love y'all so much. The 830, the best service. I tell them that too, right? Y'all know I tell them that. Listen, we love you all so, so much. We just want to. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you coming and we bless you going. All that is intended for your purpose. But simply, God would have had to say yes. We bless you emotionally, mentally, physically, socially, spiritually, certainly, financially. May you continue to be a kingdom builder in every area of your life, and may generosity literally ooze off of you. I told you each week for a long time, God's only given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live the very best that we can along the way. We're going to be energetic, full of life. We do what? Hug somebody before you leave here. We love you. Here right now, please come on up. Love you. God bless you.